this song said, Lord, we love you and we thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Those at home may be seated too.
Thank you, Randy. Again, the Holy Spirit working, because that last song really just is the message that I want to bring this morning. So welcome once again to everybody. Welcome to those at home. As I said earlier, we're having a storm here in Texas. So if the internet should go down, there will be a recording of this on Facebook and on YouTube later. If you're on YouTube and it shuts off for a moment, it kills that particular feed. You have to go back and click on the next one. It starts a brand new feed or whatever that's called. I don't know the right word. Hey, I want you all to know, if you're watching there at home and you're kind of a little bit apprehensive with all the COVID news that's going on, we're doing our best efforts here in the building to keep you safe. All of our ushers and leadership are wearing masks. The ushers are wearing gloves. We are making sure that everybody is clean. There is hand sanitizer throughout the building. We're maintaining social distancing. And every week, everything is cleaned thoroughly and disinfected. So those are the things that we're doing. You know, the last few weeks, you can bring that on up, Lynn. The last few weeks, we've been talking about soul cravings, the very things that our soul craves. Thank you, sir. I'll explain this in a moment to you. Our deepest desires. You know, we all need hope, right? We all crave love. We all crave intimacy. Those are the things that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks. And this morning, I want to talk about meaning, because we seek meaning. I mean, right from the earliest age, we start asking questions. And predominantly, the questions that children ask are because they're seeking meaning. And what's the question? What's the word? If you were just to shout it out, what do kids always ask? Why? 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 I mean, wouldn't it be nice if just one time they didn't ask why, they asked what? What would you like me to do, Daddy? How would you like me to do it? Those questions never come up. It's always why, 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 why? And that's because deep down inside of us, right from the earliest of ages, we've got this question inside of us. It's kind of like, what's it all about? What is the meaning of everything? And if you run, if your life ceases to have meaning, you kind of run out of a reason to continue. You know, if there's no need for me to be here, if nobody cares that I'm here, why be here? Meaning. We need meaning. Now, let me tell you what we're doing. I gave you all the opportunity this morning to answer a question. People out there in cyber world, if you're still watching, I can see the guys are all kind of, I don't know if you're on or not. As people came in, I asked them to fill out this first question, life is. And then after they filled out life is, there was soul. What is the response to life is? And I posted this earlier on Facebook, earlier in the week in my midweek motivation. And here's some of the ones from Facebook. Somebody put, life is essential, so make every day count. It's a pretty good one. Life is beautiful, so be kind to everyone and treat them as you would like to be treated. Life is challenging, so pray. So everybody in here, or most people in here this morning, filled out one of these. And I want to kind of have fun. You ever see those things where you one of those sentences that are kind of set up, and then you write down a bunch of adjectives and you fit them in and they come out funny. So in one of these is the life is, and in the other one is the soul. So I'm just going to pick one and match it up with one of the others, and we'll kind of see what fun we have here. So life is short. So what you do today burns your butt tomorrow. That's good. Life is a gift from God, so live now. That's a good one, isn't it? Life is like a bowl of jalapenos.
So continue to pray. That works. Life is good, so eat half as much, but twice as fast. We could continue on. I just thought I'd have a little bit of fun this morning. One of those is actually something that I want to kind of circle back to in a bit. But the question really isn't so much as, what's the meaning of life? I mean, there are all kinds of books about the meaning of life. Monty Python did a movie about the meaning of life, which was a great movie, but I cannot recommend it. Not appropriate. I've watched that in another life. But the question that we really need to answer for ourselves isn't so much what the meaning of life is what brings meaning to life? What brings meaning to life? Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, struggled with this question. A few weeks ago, I told you that I read the book of Ecclesiastes. I read it more than any other book in the Bible. And the whole of the book of Ecclesiastes, which was written by Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, is dealing with this question. What brings meaning to life? So I'm going to read a part of verse chapter 1 and then part of chapter 2. So Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. So here's where he starts. He says, "The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem." So he's identifying himself as Solomon. "Meaningless. Meaningless," says the teacher. "Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless." He's got the word meaningless in there four times in the first two verses. "What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come, generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place that streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun." Real upbeat guy, Solomon. Just loved life. He was a party animal. Actually, he was a party animal. Because after this, Solomon embarks on this expedition to find what brings meaning to life. And that's what the rest of the book is about, but it kind of summarizes it at the beginning of chapter 2. Now, I'm going to read from the Message. I don't normally use the Message, but I've got two passages for you this morning from the Message. The Message is a great paraphrased version of the Bible. Whenever I read the Message, I usually have a different Bible beside me that gives a more literal translation. But I just love the way that this put it. So this is Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. So Solomon's just told us about the meaningless of life, you know? It rains, the water goes into the sea, it evaporates, it rains, the water goes into the sea, round and round, on and on, yahoo. Then he says, "I said to myself, let's go for it. Experiment with pleasure. Have a good time. But there was nothing to it. Nothing but smoke. What do I think of the fun-filled life? Insane and inane. My verdict on the pursuit of happiness? Who needs it? With the help of a bottle of wine and all the wisdom I could muster, I tried my level best to penetrate the absurdity of life." It's amazing to me how much wine makes you wiser. You ever talk to someone who's had a few too many? They know everything. And that's what Solomon's talking about here. It's like, you know, wisdom in my drinking. "I wanted to get a handle on anything useful we mortals might do during the years we spend on this earth. Oh, I did great things. Built houses, planted vineyards, designed gardens and parks, and planted a variety of fruit trees in them. Made pools of water to irrigate the groves of trees. I bought slaves, male and female, who had children, giving me even more slaves. Then I acquired large herds and flocks, larger than any before me in Jerusalem. I piled up silver and gold, loot from the kings and kingdoms. I gathered a chorus of singers to entertain me with song, and most exquisite of all pleasures, voluptuous maidens for my bed. Oh, how I prospered. I left all my predecessors in Jerusalem far behind, left them behind in the dust. What's more, I kept a clear head throughout it all. Everything I wanted, I took. I never said no to myself. I gave in to every impulse, held back nothing. I sucked the marrow of pleasure out of every task, my reward to myself for a hard day's work. Then I took a good look at everything I'd done, looked at all the sweat and the hard work. But when I looked, I saw nothing but smoke. Smoke and spitting into the wind. There was nothing to any of it. Nothing. A chasing after the wind. Now, doesn't Solomon sound just a little bit like many of us? I mean, maybe we've never chased after all of those things. But I think as I read through that, there are certain things that you might be able to identify with. Things that we chase after in life. Some people chase after power and position. Some people chase after stuff. Some people chase after fleshly pleasures. Others just want to escape with drugs and alcohol. But I think there's a little bit of everyone in there. And what Solomon is telling us, in essence, life is precious. So don't waste it chasing after meaningless things. Let me tell you why this is important. So many of the choices that we make in life, good or bad, or good and bad, are driven by our perspective of life. Those things that we pursue to bring meaning into our lives. The answer that we would have given to this question, life is. For instance, if you were to put, life is golf, so tee up. If that was your answer, your life and the decisions that you make are going to be driven around your desire to play golf. And if somebody went to your family and said, well, you know, if what's the thing that drives this person's life? They'd probably agree with you, oh, golf. Which can be a danger because your family knows that maybe they're second to golf. If you were to answer this question, life is World of Warcraft or some other video game. So, play on. And if somebody were to come to your family and say, what's the driving force in this person's life? They'd probably agree with you, video games. Again, the same danger. You know, if they know that, then maybe they know that they're second to video games. But we so easily fool ourselves. You know, when we answer a question like life is, so often we put the thing that we would like our lives to be represented by. You know, life is Jesus, so follow the Lord. Life is family. Give time to your Lord. Give time to your family. But sometimes that's not really what's going on in our lives. And if you were to flip it around, if someone were to take a look at your life over the last 24, 48, 72 hours, the things that you do, the things that you say, if they could read your mind, what you're thinking about, I wonder what they would write in there for you based on that evidence. You know, you might put, life is Jesus, but the reality of your life is work. Or life is drink. Or life is power. We easily fool ourselves. Now, there's a problem with that. The problem is that what you hunger for can overtake you. What brings meaning to your life can take away the meaning of your life. Anyone ever diet? Come on. Yes. Most people have dieted, right? I'm on this thing right now. I weighed myself at the beginning of June, mid-year, and the scale said, get off. You're joking me. And I looked at the number on the scale and it was like, no, how did I get here? It's 250 pounds. 250 pounds. So I came up with this idea. I thought, I'm going to deny myself some things for 30 days. I've got to do 30 days of weight loss before I get that back again. And at first it was 30 continuous days. And if I got to day 15 and I didn't have weight loss, the 30 days start over again. I changed that pretty quick because on day one, I was more than I was the day before. So, but now it's just 30 days. So here's what I do. I weigh every morning. And some mornings, I get up and I didn't lose weight from yesterday. So I go for a walk right away and I come back and re-weigh. And usually that works. Wednesday night, my daughter was cooking dinner. We've got this thing going on. I can't remember who does. Sandra does Monday. I do Tuesdays. Rachel does Wednesdays. Luke does Thursdays. And it's free for all Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But Wednesday, I looked in the fridge Tuesday night, and there's this great big pork roast. I love pork. And she was going to cook it in the slow cooker. And she pours a can of, what's the Texas soda? Dr. Pepper. Poured a can of Dr. Pepper in there, so you got all the sugar kind of soaks into it and spices, and she's cooking it all day. And I knew when I came home, I thought, roast pork. But at the same time, in my mind is, I want to lose weight. So what did I do? I'll starve myself all day so that I can eat this evening. And the problem is, whatever you starve yourself from is going to come back and bite you, right? So we get to the evening and I get a nice reasonable amount of pork and it's good. I went out, came up here for something. I can't remember what I was doing on Wednesday night. And then I went home and I opened the fridge and there was some more of the pork. And I was hungry because I hadn't eaten enough all day long. And then I ate some at dinner time, but I didn't eat as much as I should. And I'm hungry. Now I'm about to go to bed. And there's the pork. And somehow, without me even knowing, it floated out of the fridge onto the table. And without even getting a knife and fork, parts of it just flew off into my mouth. I don't remember how it happened. And I got up in the morning and I was like a pound and a half heavier than I was the day before. So I went out for a walk. I walked further than I normally walk. I came back, I'm drenched in sweat because I walked hard. Got on the scales, yes! That walk took away the pound and a half and a little bit more, so I was less than the day before. I thought, but now I need to starve myself today. So I did the same thing again. Thursday night, I was up here, Thursday hangout, my time that we do a little small group thing, virtual small group. And I hardly ate anything for dinner, and I go home after dinner again, and I open the fridge, and there's the leftovers from today's dinner. And it was these taco roll-ups with all delicious meat and stuff in it. And it floated out of the fridge. And I don't remember how it happened, but it just... And then I got up in the morning, and I was a pound heavier again. If you don't satisfy the hunger, whatever your life is, it overtakes you. And before you know it, you're making destructive decisions that leave you worse off than you were in the beginning. That's why this whole life is, what is your meaning in life? That's why it is so very, very important. We must find meanings in those things that bring wholeness and emotional and spiritual strength and health to our lives. Now, Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Most people know this passage of scripture. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. In some version it says, whoever wants to be my follower must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Again, in a couple of the other Gospels, it says daily. Deny themselves daily. Daily take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Now, Jesus isn't proposing a life of denial, as some believe that this passage of Scripture means. He's saying that if you want to follow me, you must live for what is important, for what brings real meaning. What good is it to spend your life chasing after what is temporary and meaningless and lose that which brings meaning to your life? Don't live just for today, because today is not all there is. There's something more. There's something more important than just today. I like one of them in there said, life is short. That was what, when I saw this, that was the thing that came to my mind. Life is short. Life is fragile. But life is connected to eternity. And this is not all there is. So don't just live for this. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't waste your time living for this. It might cost you more than you're willing to pay. Live for eternity. Live for what has true meaning. Now, what does Jesus mean when he says, whoever loses their life from me will find it? It's kind of a weird saying. Whoever loses their life from me will find it. Jesus is the only one who can give life meaning. Because Jesus is the author of life and he holds life in his hands. Whoever loses their life from me will find it. Whoever gives up the pursuit of the meaningless things that, in this life, in this place, and pursues me will find real meaning, real life. Now here's what Solomon discovered, and here's what Jesus is teaching. In this world, we are taught that we gain meaning in life, fulfillment through what we get. That's the message of the world. Get. Solomon discovered in Jesus' teaching that we find meaning not from what we get, but from what we give. If you're looking for meaning, it's not from what you gain, from what you store up. It's from what you give. Giving brings purpose to our lives. Giving brings meaning to our lives. But it's counterintuitive, because it goes against everything that's inside of us, because right from the minute we're born, we're selfish. We want. And then we live in a world that says, take. And let's face it, America is the capital of capitalism. And we are the champions of this. Take. Grab all you can. Giving brings contentment to our lives. We were created to give. We find meaning in giving. It's counterintuitive. You know, selfishness by nature cannot be satisfied. It's a black hole that cannot be filled. That's why there's never enough alcohol to fill the hole. There's never enough money to fill the hole, to fill the need. There's never enough power to fill the hole. There's never enough sex to fill the hole. The hole in our soul is not filled by what we take. It is filled by what we give. All right, you're all looking kind of this morning. No, I think it's something mean. There's a second part to this, though. I'm going to go short today. Is that good news? Yes? It's 1:45. I'm not going to go past 1:00. There's a second part of this. We find meaning in giving. We find meaning in community. And those two knit together beautifully, because the essence of meaning is when we give in community. Paul, in his letter to the church in Rome, talked about this beautiful relationship of giving. And I'm going to read from the Message again. This is from Romans chapter 12, one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. And I love the way he talks about meaning in community and meaning in giving. So this is Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 10. He says, "In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole." And when he's talking about the body, he's talking about the church, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let us just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves to each other or trying to be something we aren't. He said we find meaning in being the people that God has called us to be in the community that God has called us to. And each one of us in that community has a purpose. We have a role. And it's important that we fill our role. He says if you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't get yourself irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. And then he talks about the motive of all this. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on to dear life for good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Jesus said, "I didn't come to serve, to be served, but to serve." And we are created in Christ's image. We find meaning when we find our purpose and serve one another as a community in that purpose. Let's talk amongst yourselves for a minute. And we find meaning when we allow that community to serve us also. Because when we serve one another, we're serving Jesus. And when you serve me, you're serving Jesus. That's how this works. That's why we find meaning in service. We find meaning when we let others reach into us when we're hurt or in need. We find meaning when we as a community reach out to those who are not part of our community. As we serve one another, we are serving Christ. As we allow others to serve us, we are serving Christ. We find meaning in what we do when we do those things in genuine love. I want to go back to this Matthew 16. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." I've talked about this numerous times in the last couple of months. A lot of Christians live their lives burdened. Burdened by guilt, burdened by a sense of inadequacy, burdened by the feeling that they can never live up to what they're supposed to be in Christ. And when you look at a scripture like this, you must deny yourself daily, take up your cross daily. That can add to that burden. But Jesus never meant this scripture to be a burden, because the same Jesus that said this is also the same Jesus that said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and tired, and I will give you peace and I will give you rest." This is the same Jesus that said, "I came to give them life and life to the full." His plan for you is not to be burdened, but to be free. free from all the baggage and the trappings of this life. When he said this, deny yourself, he was seeking to set us free. Deny yourself all of that crud, all of that stuff that you chase after that means nothing, that just weighs you down. It will not bring satisfaction. Come after me and I will bring you satisfaction. I will put meaning in your life beyond any of that stuff. Real meaning. His plan for you is not to be burdened, but to be free. And what he is telling us is simple. I have a better way for you if you will just trust me and follow me. Lay down all of that stuff that holds you back and come after me. All right, let me finish up with this. I always think when I'm up here sharing that it's easy to come and stand in front of you and say things like this. But I'm not living in your shoes. And I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know the cross that you bear. Excuse me a moment. I don't know the weight that is upon your shoulders. But I know this. You were never meant to bear that weight alone. You were never meant to bear that burden separated from the rest of God's community. Even Jesus, on the road to Golgotha, the place where he was to be executed. On that journey, he laid down his cross. He could no longer carry his cross. And somebody else picked it up and carried it for him. This very same Jesus that said, take up your cross daily. He didn't say, take up your cross daily and go alone. He calls us into community. We bear one another's cross. We bear one another's pain. We bear one another's hurt. And together, we move forward. That's how we find meaning. I want to talk to some of the people out there in cyber world for a moment, as I like to call it this morning. I know that there are a lot of people watching because I see you. I talk to you in the grocery store and on the street. And I ask you, you know, what are you doing for church? And I see so many people that used to be regular attenders. And I ask, what are you doing? I say, well, I'm watching you. Which is great. I love the fact that you're watching me. And maybe you're doing okay. But Jesus' plan for you was never to be separated from his church. You need to come back. And I know right now we got the whole COVID thing going on, so there's an exception, but sometimes people can use that as an excuse. You need to come back. You cannot find meaning for your life outside of the community that God called you to be part of. I talk all the time to people that say, I don't need to come to church to follow Jesus. I got bad news for you. Yes, you do. Jesus set up the church as his body. And you're called to be part of his body here on earth. And in this body is where you find strength for every day. And some people, you know, well, you know, somebody said something. I went to church and somebody said something and it hurt me. Or somebody did something and it hurt me. Or the pastor said something and I don't agree with it. That's okay. You don't have to agree with everything. I doubt that everybody in this room agrees 100% on everything that I say or that they say to other people. That's the way it is. And sometimes we say things that hurt people or do things that hurt people. You're still called to be in God's community. Is it a perfect community? Absolutely not. It may have been a perfect community at one time. I doubt it. But then I joined. And it's not a perfect community anymore. And if you come and be part of it, it certainly won't be a perfect community anymore. because we're not perfect people. But God called us to be part of the body of Christ. And the Bible tells us that his body is represented by his church here on earth. And if you've been separated from the church, you need to come back. You need to be part of what God has called you to be. We are here to bear one another's burdens. We are here to bear one another's cross. And we will welcome you back with open arms. And if you've never taken that step, if you're out there and you're kind of just watching and you thought, I've never been part of a church, never really been part of Christ's community, I sort of know some of the things you're talking about, Pastor Mike, but my life is filled with all those other things. I challenge you to put it down. I challenge you to take a chance on Jesus Christ. Say, I want more in my life. I want the meaning that you can bring to my life, Jesus. I want to surrender to you. We're going to go to prayer right now. I just invite you to just quietly say whatever prayer you want to say to Jesus. If you've maybe been carrying a burden, or you've been chasing after things that don't bring meaning into your life, that takes you away from Christ, ask him to help you lay that down. Ask him what it means for you to deny yourself, to take up your cross, and find real life in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just give you thanks for your love. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your holy presence with us. Jesus, I thank you for this call, that if anyone should come after me, if anyone seeks to follow me, they need to put down those other things and take up their cross and come after me. Father, that is a cross of hope. That is a cross of meaning. That is a cross of purpose. Father, if there's one out there this morning, Lord Jesus, if there's one out there this morning who is separated from you, one of your own that has chosen to isolate themselves from the church for whatever reason, Father, I pray that you would bring them back into the community that you called them to be part of, so that we can walk with them. Help them bear the burden of this life. And if you're out there and you've never really come to that place where you've surrendered to Jesus, you can begin that journey today. Just simply pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I need you. I want you. Please come into my life. Forgive my sin. Give me purpose and meaning in you. Father, I thank you again for this day. And I pray as we leave here, wherever we might be, those at home, Father, let your blessing be poured out in our lives so that whoever we meet, we can be a blessing to them. And Father, if there's someone out there who is hurting, give us the courage to ask the questions, to seek how we can help, how we can ease someone else's burden. And if there's someone out there, Father, who's burdened and they're quietly carrying that burden, give them the courage to go to one of your people and simply ask for help. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. It's not really early, is it? It's close, though. Right on. Hey, I got a couple of things I just want to share with you. If you're here this morning, we're not going to pass the offering around. There's a bin thing over there by the door that says offering. Please drop your offering in there. You can still give online if you go to the website. Just follow the links. Thank you for your faithfulness. Coming up, Promise Keepers. Promise Keepers this year, because of COVID-19, has been cancelled as a big event down at AT&T Stadium. We had bought a number of tickets, and we were going to go down there en masse and enjoy it. But COVID happened, and they've had to cancel the event. They're going to do it next year. But this year, what they're going to do is they're going to simulcast it. So we're going to show it here at Lakeway. For the first 20 men to sign up, you will receive 2020 simulcast conference and materials. It's on Friday, July 31st and Saturday, August the 1st. You'll get dinner on Friday. I think Hector's planning to do chicken fried steak, something like that. So dinner on Friday, breakfast on Sunday morning, and the good company of the Lakeway men. You will also get an admission ticket to the 2021 Promise Keepers Conference scheduled on July 16 and 17, 2021 at AT&T Stadium. Now, the cost is only $65 for both events, the simulcast here and for the event next year. Now, if you don't know if you can go next year and you just want to come to this event, it's just $15. That includes dinner and breakfast. So it's a good deal. You can register online. There's going to be a link on our website. There's going to be a link on Facebook. And if you get our emails, there was a link already in the email. So guys, sign up for that. First 20, get that extra bonus. July 12th, we are looking to open up phase 2 of opening up Lakeway. July 12th, we're looking at beginning youth ministry and children's ministry. Now, there are a lot of rules and regulations that we're going to follow to make sure that everybody is safe. In between now and July 12th, we're going to survey people. So keep your eyes open. If you've got youth age kids or younger kids, we're going to be sending you a survey. I think the link is going to be on our website. And we want to kind of get your feedback. We want to make sure everybody is safe. We want to make sure that we're not passing this COVID-19 on to anybody else. But at the same time, we want to get back to bringing God into the families of Lakeway. So be watching for that. Stay connected on the website. Stay connected at Facebook. Stay connected on YouTube. That's all I've got for you this morning. Thank you all for coming. Did I forget anything? No. Happy Father's Day. Bye-bye.